John chapter number 3, we're going to continue in our study of the Holy Spirit and what He is to us. John chapter number 3, do be praying for all those that are not here. Some are traveling, some are on vacation. Thank you, Miss Molly. God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. John chapter number 3 this morning, we'll continue in our study on the Holy Spirit. We are talking about who He is to us and what He is. Well, let's see this morning in John chapter 3, in verse number 3 through 5, we'll go 3 through 5. We see the Holy Spirit regenerates us. The Bible says in verse number 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. To regenerate means to regene or to make into a new person. This is what the Holy Spirit did for us at salvation. Old things passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We see that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and if you're in Christ this morning, say amen. Amen. If you've been born again, blood bought, if you have trusted on Jesus Christ, not believing in God, but listen, even the devils believe in God. Understand that this morning. The devils realize that God is real. The devils realize that God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. The devils realize that Jesus Christ died for all the sin of mankind, but they do not believe on Jesus Christ. If you are saved, you have believed on Jesus Christ, not believed in. You don't just have a head knowledge, but you have a heart knowledge about Jesus Christ. Don't ever, ever make the critical mistake of misunderstanding salvation. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. I love how the Bible very specifically tells us not who we want to be, but who we are. Already because of who? Because of Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he, she is a new creature. And then it says, old things are what? Passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We must understand who we are. Romans chapter 8, in verse 11, not only did he regenerate us, he also indwells us. Romans 8:11 says, But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. This means that He has made us His home. It is not His temporary dwelling place. He is here for the whole journey. He is used as well to convict us when we sin. Now, how many are thankful for conviction? You know, we don't often like to be told that we're wrong, do we? I don't. But, and I'm sure none of us really like it, if we're to be honest. But here's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for a convicting Holy Spirit that keeps me from an awful lot of mess that I'd have got myself into if I wouldn't have listened. But here's the deal. We don't always listen, do we? And the Bible says we reap what we what? So, you know, we sow bad fruit, we're going to reap what? Bad fruit, but man, we sow good fruit. Here's the cool thing about being a Christian. We're going to reap good fruit. So He does convict us when we sin. In John chapter number 16, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says, And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they believe not on Me. It is His voice we hear when we sin against the holy God. It is He who encourages us to come for cleansing and to confess sin. Can I say not only that, He also anoints us. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse 20, the Bible says, But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. In verse 27 of 1 John 2, the Bible says, But the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. To understand what this means, it is important to understand how it is used throughout the Bible. Anointing often signified divine appointment to a specific place. And can I say, the Holy Spirit never makes mistakes. Y'all okay with that? There's never a time where the Holy Spirit of God is, and don't misinterpret. You know, we like to say, well, God told me to do it. Well, listen, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're three in one. They're a triune God. They work together. They're all just as important as the next one. So really and truly, but what we have living inside us is the Holy Spirit of who? God. So when we're prompted to do something good, it is who? The Holy Spirit. So when we're prompted to do something good, should we always act on every unction of the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. Every single time that the Holy Spirit gives us a thought or gives us a command, sometimes he commands us to do things, but if he gives us a thought, we should learn as Christians that we should trust God. God is never going to tell you to do something that he has not already enabled you to do. Y'all okay with that? See, God doesn't work by sight. The Bible says the just shall live by what? Faith. And if God tells us to do something that we cannot see how it's humanly possible, listen, God will not tell you to do it if he has not already made a way for you to do it. And sometimes, if you just step out by faith, you might see that God really is in control of everything. And when we step out by faith and we see, you know, you've heard the stories from yesteryears, you've heard preachers stand and tell crazy stories about what God's done with this person's money or with this church and how many missionaries this little church can support. I mean, listen, there are churches all over the country smaller than us that support hundreds of missionaries. How do they do it? They do it by faith. They don't do it by sight. They do it because God said, look, here's a little bit more for you. And listen, God never gives you more just for you, okay? You know, if you're giving and you're giving right and you're giving by faith and you're paying your tithe and you're giving to missions and God says, okay, you're being obedient and you go to work and you get a $10,000 or $12,000 a year raise. Well, can I tell you something? God gave you that raise for a reason. Yes, it can bless you and your family, but hey, the Bible says it's more blessed to what? Give than to what? And here's another secret I'm going to tell you. You'll never outgive God. You'll never be able to outgive the Father. I can tell you stories in my own personal life. Two different times in just the last 10 years, the Holy Spirit has prompted me to and my family, my wife and I, to give something that I, in my mind, I'm like, well, Lord, you don't really understand. Like, I was praying for this because Christmas is coming up and I got this bonus and it was, I asked you for extra money and you gave it to me at the right time. And in my mind, I'm thinking, Lord, thank you for giving me this. Christmas is coming up. I got to buy presents for all these kids. And God said, nope, there's a missions conference coming up, son. I want you to give that money, every single bit of it, give it to missions. It was a bonus. It was more than you thought you were going to have in the first place. I got better plans for it than you do, I promise you. And let me tell you something. 2 months later, God dropped a vehicle in my lap that I didn't have one at that time. God put a truck in my lap that I never knew I was going to be able to have. Didn't have to pay a dime for it. Why? But what if I just would have kept the $1,500 bonus to myself? Hey, I might have been buying a truck and had a truck payment for a while. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You cannot outgive. You're never going to outgive. Don't think that you are above God. Remember what happened to the last one that thought they wanted to be like God? Took the boot right out of heaven for all eternity. Remember that? That old devil, the same one that's telling you right now, don't listen to that dumb preacher. You know you need that money. Hey, and by the way, let me just back up a little bit. It ain't about money. Y'all understand that, right? I'm just using that as an example. It's not really about money. To be honest, God don't need your money. He's God. Now, but if you're going to be faithful in giving, he'll use your money. You know that widow in the Bible that gave two mites? Well, she made history, didn't she? You know that little boy in the Bible that gave his lunch, five loaves and two small fishes? We don't know how big they were, but it wasn't much. And man, Jesus fed 5,000 people. You say, well, my measly old 5% or 2% of what I give ain't going very far. You don't know what God's doing with your money. You realize? You call brother Batoto over there in Thailand and find out, or in the Philippines, and find out just how far the $400 that we sent him went. You want to know? Listen, 2 months of groceries for $400 for his family. Now in America, we're talking about a couple days. Yeah. You hear me? But hey, God can take what we can give, and we might think, well, $400, that's not a lot, or that's a lot, but hey, fed his family for 2 months on that. I mean, he called a few churches, raised a few thousand dollars. You know, here, we're looking at adding on to our church, and I promise you it's going to be more expensive to do here than it is over there. But hey, he took $6,000 or $8,000 and built a church building. And we think, hey, that's not a lot. Hey, maybe not to you, but you're not God. But by faith, people are walking into a church service today, into a building, a covered building. Why? Because people like you and people like me and churches like New Hope Independent Baptist Church stepped out by faith and gave. You know, we didn't have to. We didn't think about it. We didn't ask questions. We just gave and God blessed. And one day when you get to heaven, you might see children walk into heaven. And you might say, hey, what's your name? And they might say, I don't know, but I sure am thankful you gave that money. Because you know that church that Brother Batoto built? I went to church there. I got saved there. My mom and daddy got saved there. My brothers and sisters got saved there, all because you chose to give. Y'all good with this? I love preaching on the Lord, and I love preaching on faith. But folks, we got to make it not about us. It has to be about Him. So when the Holy Spirit tells us to do something, what should we do? Just do it. Obey. That's right. Anointing often signified divine appointment to a specific place. We were talking about the Holy Spirit never, ever makes a mistake. In 2 Chronicles 22, in verse number 7, let's turn your Bibles there. 2 Chronicles 22, in verse number 7. Back in your Old Testament there. 2 Chronicles 22. Verse number 7, and the destruction of Ahaziah was of God by coming to Joram, for when he was come, he went out with Jehoram against Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to cut off the house of Ahab. In 1 Samuel 24, in verse number 6, the Bible says, and he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. Can I say the anointing of the Holy Spirit comes with great honor? Listen, because Saul was anointed, you know, David had every real reason in our humanly thinking to kill Saul, did he not? I mean, this joker was, chasing David, trying to kill him. And multiple times, I believe God allowed David to be in the situation to make an all-important decision. Now, just like you and me, if someone's hunting me down, Brother Scott, and I get the upper hand, and I catch him in the cave doing his business, and I cut his cloak, hey, I might just go ahead and cut his throat. Y'all hear what I'm saying? But David understood the anointing of the Holy Ghost was something very special. And listen to what he said. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. Behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee. But mine eyes spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth mine hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Listen, the anointing brings great honor. In Psalm 23 and 5, can I say, the anointing brings great blessings. The anointing of the Holy Ghost brings great blessings. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Hey, listen, if we were to be honest and we were to say, you know what? Although on the outside, in my point of view, in the things that I can see, and by the way, all the things you can see are carnal. Y'all all right? Listen, all the things you can see, all the things we can fathom, it's all going to burn up one day. It ain't even going to matter. But listen to me. If we were to be honest, God said in Psalm 23:5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. If we were to be honest and stop looking at all the negative things around us, because listen, God said it's going to rain on the just and it's going to rain on the unjust. For years, good things have happened to bad people. Everybody all right with that? And for years, bad things have happened to good people and good things happen to bad people. All that, listen, you can't change the fact that sin is real. You're never going to change the fact that for the wages of sin is what? Listen, therefore by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. You know, so every single one of us have to die. Why? Because of what? Sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But look, why don't we stop focusing on all the negative and all the things that we cannot change, all the things that we worry about and fret about and think about quitting over, and just look at how our cup indeed is overflowing with blessings that we don't even realize because we're focused on the negative. Folks, listen. You say, well, what do I have positive to think about? You're breathing. I mean, you woke up. I mean, I'm sure that we all have something we can be thankful for. If we practiced being thankful like we practice focusing on the negative, we'd be a different people. We talk more about our pity parties than we do about the good things that God has really done for us. Why is it that we spend more time pray for this, pray for this, pray for this, pray for this, than we do when we have the opportunity to praise the Lord? Why is it that nobody can seem to find an opportunity to raise their hand and say, you know what? I am thankful for something. By the way, it's been a while. The Lord's kind of been prompting me to address that this morning and give you the opportunity to go home this afternoon and think about it and come back tonight. I appreciated the last time we did it a few months ago on the Sunday night. Remember, I don't care if it takes all night. If you don't hear me preach, that's okay. If you lift up your voice and praise the Lord, I think He'll be okay with that. Hey, listen. Go home this afternoon. Think of something. I mean, you shouldn't have to think very long either. Think of something to be thankful for. I don't care if it takes 5 minutes to tell us. I would rather hear you lift up your voice for 5 minutes and thanking and praising the Lord than I would see you in self-pity for 30 seconds. Folks, we ought to practice being thankful more often. Our cup really is running over with blessings. With these thoughts in mind, we see that we have been appointed to a divine place. We are heirs of God. We understand His honor and privileges. We are called sons of God. Finally, we know of His blessings. We have a home with God for eternity. God's Spirit has anointed us. The Holy Spirit is also used to guide the believer through this perilous journey. He is our tour guide on a foreign soil. It is He who also empowers us to do what God has for us. In Micah 3 verse 8, the Bible says, but truly, I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin. He is also used to help us pray. Romans 8, 26, the Bible says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for. You know, that's what the Bible says. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Folks, isn't it good to know that you have one living within you, that knows your needs before you have a need? That is truly amazing to me. That God knows a year from now what we're going to be begging and weeping over. He already knows. And I think that if we would, like I said, spend more time, you know, the Bible says, pray with thanksgiving in your heart. And how do we do that? Well, I'm not going to sit here and tell you it's easy, but I can tell you this. I can think back to two critical times in my life. Now, I've had a lot of critical moments, and I know you have too, and I'm not undermining what you've been through. I'm just telling you, in my mind, I don't know how you rate circumstances in life, but I can think of some circumstances that were pretty critical to me, and others that were like, I cared about them, but I wasn't really as worried. You know what I'm saying? Y'all ever been like that? Well, I'll tell you what. Here's a circumstance for you. Find your baby daughter in a glass box hooked up to tubes, not knowing if you'll ever hold her again. That's a circumstance to me that was critical. But I'll tell you what, and I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you, we serve a God who is able and willing to be there in those times. When she was born, I held her a couple of times just for a few minutes in the room. That moment, we didn't know anything was wrong. The nurse came in, and immediately the nurse just started sweating bullets. I'm talking about sweating bullets. She knew something was wrong in her mind. She knew the doctors had made a horrible mistake. Something was off. And I said, ma'am, what's going on? She said, I don't know. I need to go get some doctors. And she ran out. She came back in. And about 30 seconds later, there were five ladies that walked in from the NICU and said, hey, she's coming with us. Either you're coming with us or you're staying with her. And I looked at my wife. She had to go have some surgery. And she looked at me and she said, go with Carolina. I went to the NICU. And I'm telling you, that I didn't know for the next 8 days she was just going to be in a box, hooked up to tubes. You know, basically tubes breathing for her. Her lungs were pre-developed and she was full term and she just had an issue. But here's the thing. If God fearfully and wonderfully made her and knew her while she was in her mother's womb, y'all catching this? Did he? He did. He knew exactly what he was doing. And here's what I think. I don't think he did it for her. I think he did it for us. Because here's the thing. If I can pray with thanksgiving, God, thank you for answering that prayer. Thank you for letting me, by faith, give that. Thank you for giving me that vehicle. But how am I supposed to pray and thank God for this situation? Well, here's what I did. I was looking at her in the NICU, and honest to God, the book of Job came to my mind. And I know you've probably heard this a million times, but I kid you not, I thought to myself, you know, God, if you think heaven will be a sweeter place with her, that's okay. She's yours. We promised to raise our kids to serve you. And Lord, I appreciate the couple hours that you gave her to us. I really do. And my prayer was this. Thank you for what you have given us. Lord, I don't want to be bitter. And you know, the Holy Spirit said, Drew, I know what's going on here, bud. It's going to be all right. And here's the reality. Had it went the other way, listen, she'd have been in heaven with her sibling. Now, is she a joy? Absolutely. But was she a joy then? She was. And would she have been a joy to heaven? She would have. And would God have still been good? The answer, folks, is yes. God knows what is going on. And so with thanksgiving, I said, Lord, thank you for giving her to us this long. And if you choose to keep her with us, may we do the best job that we can to make sure that she comes to know you someday. And folks, she's just a bundle of joy. She's crazy. She's sweet. But hey, if it would have been the other way, I'd like to tell you today, I'd still want to be preaching the same message to you. I'd still be telling you God is good. Because look, circumstances are going to happen. But we can't change circumstances. You guys know that? We're not in control of that. We don't hold the keys to death and hell. I mean, I could sit here and tell you story after story of people that say, oh, I hold the keys to death. You ever heard of suicide? Look, I know suicide's a real thing, but I'm going to tell you something. Unless God's ready for you, there ain't much you can do. I know people that have attempted suicide twice with a bullet to their head. And guess what they're doing today? Preaching the gospel. Y'all hear me? God has appointed unto man once to die. And that's an appointment that none of us will ever escape. You can't speed it up. You can't slow it down. God has made an appointment for you and for me. Boy, the Holy Spirit sure is good, isn't he? In Romans 14, chapter number 7, or Romans 14, 17, the Bible says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the Bible says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, some will ask the question, that is a great list of what he does, but how do I know if he is working in my life? A life that is being controlled by the Holy Spirit will have certain qualities and character traits. Ask yourself the following questions and answer them honestly. Listen, church, is my life characterized by a loving spirit? I'll give you a second to dwell on that, and I'll ask you again. Is my life characterized by a loving spirit? Now, you know what you think about yourself, but what if we said, hey, what if we asked your wife and your husband that question? Or your children and your grandchildren? Hey, is this family member's life characterized by a loving spirit? I say, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Okay, well, number two, do people say that I am a joyous person? Or do people dread when you walk into the room? Folks, we should not have that testimony as Christians. There should never be a time where anybody else has the opportunity to say, I sure hope she don't show up to this meeting. Or I sure hope he don't show up to this thing. Because everybody in the building will be on board except for so-and-so. Always got to be a problem. Hey, y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, in school, you always get all these awesome teachers. You're making straight A's. Ain't never made a bad grade in your life. And then you got this one teacher. You just can't please them. No matter what. Ugh. Why don't you just quit teaching? You know what I'm saying? If you hate kids, why are you a teacher? You know? Single, ain't married, ain't never had kids, but want to be a teacher. Don't make sense. I don't like being around rotten people like that. Do you? Nobody likes that. Well, what about you? Do people enjoy being around you? Hey, you know, I've worked for guys before that are the most laid back, just nice, chill bosses. As long as the job's getting done and the money's coming in at the end of the day, they'll shake your hand at the end of the day. They won't tell you what to do. They won't scream at you. But I've worked for the other kind too, that just always have to micromanage everything. You know what I'm talking about? They screamers, they cussers, they poke you in the chesters and you want to knock them out. And I mean, just rotten people to be around. Hey, what if we were to ask your coworkers, how are you to be around? What would our testimonies be? Are we joyous? Well, can I say that I am experiencing true peace in my life? Do I live a life of peace? Or do I live a life of constant anxiety, worry? And I might make somebody mad here, but let me help you. God did not design Christians to live with anxiety. That is a spiritual sickness. That's not physical. That's spiritual. And sure, you can take medication to cover it up, but let me tell you something. When your medication wears off, your anxiety's coming back. But when you get a spiritual fix, most of the time, it's called forgiveness. I'll just give you the recipe to success here. Forgive. Jesus said, forgive your debtors, forgive your trespasses, as those who have trespassed. You know, you want to be forgiven, but you don't want to what? Hey, are you living in peace? Are you living in worry, fear? Am I able to wait patiently for the Lord to lead me? Or am I always trying to jump the gun and do things my way? Anybody else have that problem? Well, Lord, you know this is coming up. And God just says, hey, wait patiently on the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord, and I will renew their strength. But we're like, well, God, don't you know that's a month away? And he said, don't you remember that story in the Bible when I was 4 days late? And Lazarus came forth the first time Jesus said it. He stunk. He'd been dead so long. He said, he stinketh. And Jesus is like, watch this. Lazarus, come forth. 4 days, 96 hours, dead, stinking in a rotten, gross tomb. And what did Lazarus do? Well, you know, Lord, I'd get up, but if you'd have came 4 days early, I sure would get up a lot faster. No, Lazarus came forth. Listen, don't try to lead your own life. Let God lead you. A few more. Do I have a temper or am I gentle? Anybody else struggle here? I mean, how many have kids at home? Grandkids? Co-workers that we don't like? Husbands, wives that we don't like? I'm just kidding. Do I have a temper or am I a gentle person to be around? Hey, you want to know the truth about that? Let me go get your wife and kids, guys, and ask them. Say, hey, how's daddy at home? He sure does smile a lot at church. But how's he at home? Or mom? And we'll say, hey, kids, sir, how's your wife at home? How is she, kids? And you won't know the truth. You better go ask the kids. Because they'll know. They'll know if you're a temperamental person or you're a gentle person. By the way, who likes to be screamed at in here? Does anybody like that? I don't think so, but how many of us are screamers? We raise our voice. We say, well, if they'd listen without me doing it, I wouldn't have to do it. Gentle. Number 6, do people around me think that I'm a good person? What's your testimony? Number 7, is my life characterized by faith or sight? The Bible says the just shall live by what? Faith. Number 8, do I understand what it means to be meek? What does that mean? That means, how highly do you really think of yourself? Do you think that, you know, there's nothing... You ever been around somebody that brags all the time? And how long does it take for you to get absolutely annoyed where you're ready to vomit when you're listening to their stories? Well, I gave this and I did that and I did this and I did that. I don't care what you did. What if God broke your arms and your legs and cut your tongue out of your mouth? Y'all listening? Are you meek? Or do you think of yourself that you're just something, Lord, if God chose to make my day today, he sure would be missing out. You know what I'm saying? Folks, listen. God don't need that. And people don't appreciate that. The last time I read, God resists the what? Proud, but gives grace to the what? Humble. And lastly, do I have any self-control at all over my desires? This is a big one for Christians. This don't necessarily have to be, you know, sensual desires or anything like that, but how much self-control do you really have as a Christian this morning? Or are you constantly living and walking to fulfill the lust of your flesh? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word and for your truth. Lord, I thank you for dying on the cross. God, thank you for this study. Bless us in this next hour in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed.